Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Yeah, buddy. Here we go. Headlines on a, not gorgeous, but not horrible Friday afternoon right here on Softy and Dick. Brought to you by your friends at Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
Get off our show, fair weather idiot.
Big trade in the NFL. The Chiefs, after acquiring Joe Tooney, Kyle Long, and others on their offensive line, are now sending their first-round pick, that's number 31 overall, a third, a fourth, plus a fifth-rounder next year to Baltimore for left tackle Orlando Brown Jr. and the Ravens' second-round pick this year and a sixth-round pick in 2022. Chiefs are going above and beyond to protect Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City.
Hey, Seattle.
Basketball news. AD returned to the Laker lineup last night for the first time in over 2 months. He had 4 points, four boards in 17 minutes in limited action in a Laker loss to the Mavericks.
NFL, some sad news. Bears legend, former defensive lineman Steve McMichael. Remember that name back in the day?
Yep.
Announcing he was diagnosed with ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease 3 months ago.
Well, sorry for another terrible story, but this one is. Kentucky freshman guard Terrence Clark, who was headed for the upcoming NBA draft, has died in a car accident in the L.A. area. He was 19 years of age.
Holy moly, jeez.
Sorry.
You know what? That's it for the sad stories for today.
Yeah.
All right, no more.
Okay, I'm erasing that from my list. I will no longer give
that story. Condolences to his family, by the way. NFL, the Browns exercising the fifth-year option on quarterback Baker Mayfield. He'll make $18.8 million in 22. And the Browns also picking up the fifth-year option on cornerback Denzel Ward.
Michael Foster, the number 7-ranked high school player in the nation, not going to play college basketball. He is entering the G League next season.
You know what? I'm not surprised to hear that. How much are those guys making the G League, by the way?
A couple hundred?
Yeah, it's better than nothing, right? I mean, if you have no desire to go play college basketball, if you can go make a couple $100,000 in the G League, why not do it? Was it Brandon Jennings that went to Europe?
Yes.
Before he went to Milwaukee?
He was the first one. He was going to go to Arizona.
Right, and he went and played basketball in Europe. And I wonder how much of an option, a regular kind of option, this is going to be for high school basketball players. First of all, when are they going to get rid of the stupid rule that you have to go to college for 1 year?
I think it's a couple
years.
Or be
1 year removed from high school, sorry.
Yeah, a couple years away. But, you know, it was interesting because I was listening to the Gary Parrish podcast with Matt Norlander, who comes on our show sometimes, mm-hmm. and Parrish comes on with Ian. They were talking about the money that Jalen Suggs made and the marketing dollars that Jalen Suggs made, who is already marketing his buzzer beater as a one-of-one on those, you know, non-fungible whatever video trading cards or whatever.
Right,
he's already marketing that, and they are like, Jalen Suggs made a mint going to play college basketball on Gonzaga instead of going to the G League.
Well, all those guys, if Jalen Suggs, and he's making money if he doesn't hit that shot against UCLA for sure. How many of those guys had that kind of talent that went to the G League? Meaning if you are, I don't know, let's say you're a middle-of-the-road NBA first-round draft pick,
mm-hmm.
and you decide to skip college and go make a couple $100,000 in the G League. For those guys, are they better off, or are they still better off going to college basketball and playing against what I still believe is better competition?
You think you're saying that college basketball is better competition than G League, or the G League?
I think college basketball is better.
I would agree with that.
Yes,
I would agree with that. You know, I just think the money that you'd make 1 year in the G League is just so just minute compared to a well-prepared player, a guy that's played under a fantastic coach. Not only is the competition better in college basketball, the coaching, I mean, the great coaches in college basketball compared to the who knows these guys are coaching at Bakersfield for a year, I mean, I just think you are so much more prepared to play in the NBA by just playing 1 year of college basketball than you are in the G League, and that could translate into millions and millions and millions of dollars down the road. I mean, I get it. A lot of these kids are from from very, very tight backgrounds as far as financially, and that $200,000 looks really good up front.
Yep.
But it's the, you know, you want the $200 up front, or would you rather make an additional millions and millions on the back end? And that's what I would always advise these kids.
Of course, if you could do that, yes. But how many guys actually do that? How many guys do turn into Jalen Suggs? How many? I mean, you know, nobody was talking about Zion, right? Not like they were when he went to Duke, and then he goes to Duke, and all of a sudden he's marketable. He's making millions of bucks
because
in the
NBA. Went to Duke,
right? But how many guys actually do that is my point. How many kids actually take whatever their resume is and then blow it up so much to a point where now they're really marketable? They're making, you know, tenfold what they would have made if they had gone through the G League. There's going to be a few of them for sure every single year. But I just I think it's actually a great option for a kid that has no desire to go to school. You know, I mean, if the NBA draft could include high school seniors, all these kids would be drafted top five, top 10, right? Mm-hmm. Wherever. I mean, 1 year in college basketball may help some kids, but for the most part, there's a lot of kids in high school basketball the NBA is ready to draft high right now, and they just can't do it. So how many kids actually can take advantage of that? And if they can't take advantage of it, go into the G League and make it a couple $100,000, I think, is a great alternative.
I just worry about them and how prepared they are when they're 27 years old and their basketball career flames out. And maybe they've made $2 million in 5 years being a journeyman, 10-day contract guy, what have you. They've got no background in a college to fall back on. They've not no coach to fall back on in college, and they're 27 years old with a high school diploma.
Can't they go back to college later, though, if they want? I mean, I'm not sure how many do, but they
That's the thing. Right? I mean, I worry about what those guys are at the age of 35 after that happens. Do you think that they have the wherewithal to take that $2 million and put it aside and let it grow? Are they marketable in some other, you know, entity? Are they ready for life? I just think you are much more ready for life even just having 1 year in a great program with a great coach, whether or not you make $200,000 or not.
You're saying driving or riding a bus in Omaha doesn't get you ready for life the way it does in the SEC. Hey, did you see the Kraken Bar? Not the one they're building up at Northgate, but the Kraken Bar, which I had no idea the Kraken Bar even existed before the story came out. A punk rock bar is suing the Kraken for copyright infringement, a university district punk rock bar that I've literally never heard of. Have you heard of it, by
the
way?
I've been there a number of times.
You've been there. Have you been there, Dick?
No, I have not.
Suing the Kraken for $3.5 million, alleging the NHL expansion team's name choice and plans to open a Northgate Mall practice facility restaurant risks irreparably harming its brand. And I thought it was funny reading this story because you would think, hey, man, this is going to be great for the Kraken Bar. I mean, people are talking about the bar now. There's more name recognition. There's more brand recognition. They don't want hockey fans going to their bar.
Did you
read this?
I have read this
in the
story.
Lawsuit.
And the line from the Seattle Times that cracks me up is that husband and wife, Kat Colley and Daniel Colley, had, quote, begrudgingly now, this is during a COVID epidemic, by the way. They begrudgingly tolerated the team's name choice despite a parade of new patrons in hockey-themed attire. So you're telling me a restaurant owner during a pandemic is begrudgingly tolerating more people coming and spending money at their restaurant.
Yes.
That is one of the crazier things I've happened.
You know why?
I've heard during this
because
whole pandemic.
They think it's driving away their regulars. That's what they think. They think that the regulars that enjoy going to the dive bar, which apparently Jackson Feltz is one of them.
I'm not a regular. No,
okay,
no.
Jackson Feltz loves
you're a
dive
punk
bars.
Rock fan, huh, Jackson?
He loves going to punk rock dive bars.
I've been drugged there by
and
other friends.
You were drugged there or drugged there?
I was
both.
Drugged
okay,
there
I want to make sure.
Does he have pink hair by now?
He does, and nipple rings. So here's the thing, dude. This is like, and we got to get the clip from episode 4.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
when C-3PO and R2-D2 walk into the cantina and the bartender says, hey, we don't want your kind here. You're going to have to wait outside. You're droids. They'll have to wait outside. That's exactly what this is. You know what I want to do now, dude? I want to walk into the Kraken bar with a Kraken t-shirt and a Kraken hat and see what they do to me.
If they
Will they throw me out? Will they give me a dirty look? We don't want your kind here. You'll have to leave.
If you really don't want extra money, Daniel and Kat Colley, here's a very, very easy way to keep hockey fans out. Don't put hockey on the television and just blare punk rock music at 120 decibels.
Yeah.
And hockey fans won't go. They may go in there once or twice, but they won't go after that.
But apparently they think that these people showing up is actually driving away the rest of their audience, the rest of their clientele, that people are so disgusted with hockey fans walking in there asking for the Canadians and Red Wings to be put on TV, that they're just getting up and leaving and going somewhere else. That's what they're doing.
We don't serve their kind here.
That's exactly what it is. This is the 2021 version of the cantina at Mos Eisley. You're going to have to leave. We don't serve your kind. Let's do it, huh? Let's do it. All three of us.
I'm going.
Beer's on me.
I'm going.
You know what I'll do? I'll even buy us all the Kraken gear we need. We'll walk in there. We'll sit down.
Yes.
We'll ask to put a game on TV, and we'll see what the hell they do to us.
Well, they're going
to
say,
okay?
Hey, we don't serve their kind here.
They might throw us down the street.
Good. I'd love to see it.
413.
I'm totally in. Kat and Daniel, I would just say good luck to you in this lawsuit and your future endeavors.
Let's do it. We'll get a little fun with audio. Slash, hey, did you hear that?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
Next on Softy and...
To Softy and Dick on your home for the Huskies and the Kraken. Seattle Sports Radio 950. KJR.
Anything. You don't know squat, you stupid idiot.
All right, 4:23 Friday afternoon. It's one of my favorite segments of the week. I'm not sure if I can speak for the rest of the crew here, but I enjoy fun with audio. Hey, did you hear that?
Nobody likes it as much as Hugh, though.
Yeah, he loves it. Are you kidding me? He actually told me.
What's that, Dick?
When you were gone, he said, you know what? I'd like to fill in a couple of shows, but can you make sure that I get a couple of Fridays in so I can do fun with audio slash hey, did you hear that? So here we go. Every Friday at 4:20, travel around the world, around the country, looking for fun and interesting things to react to. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Okay, so I don't know what this is all about. Jackson's like, do you know what happened 2 years ago today? Well, not really, but let me go look. No! I want you to be surprised. Do you know what this is all about?
I do. I do, and I guarantee you'll like it.
You do, and I don't. Say this. 9 times out of 10, when you guarantee I'm going to like something, I'm not going to like it.
You can't not like this.
All right. 2 years ago today, this happened.
Tied at 115. Crowd rising to the feet. George will defend Lillard. Spread floor. Lillard with 47 tonight. Working it down to 2-1. A deep three.
Oh! What?
Blazers win the series. A walk-off three from Lillard. The most improbable, impossible three.
Yes!
To send the Thunder to the sewer. I love it.
Wasn't that great?
And then Lillard came out and said, like, that was for Seattle or something like that. Remember that?
Yes, that was for Seattle. And I have not asked Kevin. The next time I talk to Kevin, I got to ask him. When he said fly, and then he paused.
You think he was going to say chickens in the barnyard?
He was going to say chickens in the barnyard, and then he was like, well, wait a second. That's my Sonics line. I'm going to go fly away instead.
Next time we have him on, ask him that.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the hell with him.
Screw him.
You know how I feel about those bastards, and if I could say something stronger, I would. You know what I'd love to do, by the way? I'd love to call just a random Oklahoma City sports bar and said, hey, this is Jared from down the road. You know what happened 2 years ago today? And then play that clip over the phone for him. I'd love to call the little kid and say, hey, you bastard, you punk-ass bitch. You know what happened 2 years ago today, Barry? And then play that for him. Rub it in their fat faces. I hate those people. You know that, right? I hate them. I hate him. I can't stand him. And I'm so glad that Damian Lillard ripped their guts out.
in that game. The best way possible.
Oh, that was good. Man, I'm aroused after hearing that. Holy cow.
Told you'd like it.
All right. Well, you're right. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
Oh.
What's that, Dick?
Oh, that was so good. All right. Earlier this week, I like how Jackson wrote this. Earlier this week, on Tuesday, April 20th, Stephen A. Smith shared what he called,
there's a 420? Reason. There's a reason 420? That he put Tuesday, April 20th.
Okay, earlier this week on 420, Stephen A. shared what he called a very important announcement on Twitter.
Who was on crack?
What's up, y'all? This is your boy, Stephen A. It's April 20th, 2021, and I just thought I'd take a moment to remind y'all to stay off the weed. Stay off the weed.
How many NBA players could he say that to and have them say, okay.
Oh,
okay,
my God.
Stephen A., I got you. Really?
It's got to be 70%, right?
If not more, right? I mean,
well,
come on,
I'm sure there's a lot of NBA players that are very, very, very concerned about what they put in their bodies.
Yes,
they probably don't drink at all or drink very, very little.
But they
never
don't.
Got into smoking.
They don't.
Stay off the weed.
I mean, who's the biggest goober in the NBA that you've ever seen?
Oh, like just like a dork?
John Stockton.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even John Stockton's over there at a corner with Horney and Malone. And he's chewing on his bottom lip because he's high as a kite before game 6 of the NBA Finals. I would love to hear Stephen A. tell that to an NBA player. Because, you know, Stephen A. is, I think, more closely associated with the NBA, don't you think, than any other league out there.
Yes. He talks about NBA. He covered the NBA for the Sixers.
Right. He talks about everything, but he's more associated with the NBA. So I would love to see how that would play out with them. That is good stuff. You're right. You know what? So far, 2 for 2. Let's see if we can make it 3 for 3. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dick?
In an interview on Sirius XM College Sports yesterday, our old pal, our old buddy, former Husky head coach Chris Peterson.
Why did you ask that question?
Sat down and talked about how one paragraph in one book,
Stats Are for Losers,
decided to help him retire from coaching college football. Check it out.
The book is called The Way to Love by Anthony DeMello. I'm going to read you this because when I saw this, I went, that is it. It says, here's a parable of life for you to ponder on. A group of tourists sits in a bus that is passing through gorgeously beautiful country, lakes, mountains, and green fields and rivers. But the shades of the bus are pulled down. They do not have the slightest idea what lies beyond the windows of the bus. And all of their time on the journey is spent squabbling over who will have the seat of honor in the bus and who will be well applauded and who will be well considered. And so they remain until the journey's end.
Mm.
And I'm like, that was it. I'm in this tunnel or I'm in this on this bus and I'm missing life and I know it. The curtains of the bus, the shades of the bus were pulled down and you're squabbling over stuff and have so much worry and anxiety over stuff that doesn't really even matter. And so that kind of sums it up right there. It's like, that's what I was feeling. And that's why I couldn't do this anymore.
Mm. All right. I have a response to that, but I want you to go first.
Okay.
What do you think?
You read that all over his face for the 6 years he was the head coach of the Huskies.
That he was miserable?
Every time you talk to him, every time you look, he's a very friendly, engaging person, but every time you talk to him about football, I had a problem with it forever. Even though I loved him as the head coach, I was just like, man, dude, lighten up. But he wasn't able to do it.
He wasn't able to lighten up and stop freaking about everything he was freaking about and coach college football.
That's right.
I assume, and maybe those guys asked him, you know, could you have maybe, you know, got into a frame of mind where you could not worry about those things and coach college football? Maybe he tried to do that and just said, I can't do that, right? It's either kind of either A, I'm losing my hair like Roger Maris in 1961 and coaching college football. I'm going to have a heart attack and coach college football, or I'm not doing any of those things. And the only way to not have a heart attack and not have a stroke is to give up college football. I will say this. I love Chris Peterson. I respect Chris Peterson. I think Chris Peterson is an incredible guy. I think a lot of people probably feel the way Chris Peterson does about what they do for a living, and they can't do a damn thing about it. This guy made millions of dollars coaching college football. It was very easy for him to say, you know what? I can't do this anymore. Yeah. I'm going to walk away. I'm sure a lot of folks have a job where they feel like Chris Peterson did while he was coaching college football, but they got no choice. They got to keep working like a regular schmuck. This guy was lucky that he made tens of millions of dollars and he could walk away and do something he truly loved and also something that wasn't going to kill him at the same time.
And he's still helping
kids. So good
kids.
For him.
I mean,
yes.
He's doing the foster school business thing. He's still helping
Absolutely.
Kids. Can you play my favorite Chris Peterson drop on whether or not he ever listened to our
radio there's show? A couple of them. You might, this one right here.
I've never in one time ever heard your radio show.
I prefer this one.
First of all, it's Asa Turner. Not awesome.
And this one's pretty good.
Why did you ask that question?
All right, 431. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Washington football team quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick joining Chris Long's Green Light podcast earlier this week after learning of Alex Smith's retirement. Mid-show, he shared the worst text message he'd ever sent. Hang on, this is the worst text message that Ryan Fitzpatrick ever sent to anybody? Okay. So he's on the air, he learns of Alex Smith's retirement, and shares the worst text message he ever sent in his life. Go ahead.
One of my biggest regrets to date, when Alex broke his leg in that game a few years ago, I had what I thought was similar injury. I fractured my tibia in 2014 with the Houston Texans, and so the single worst text I've ever sent out, I sent it to Alex, and I said, hey, Alex, just want to let you know, they'll fix you right up. You'll be good as new. You know, I'm out here and I don't feel any pain from, you know, my injury, you know, 3 years later or whatever. And I sent it and felt good about it. And he said, well, mine might be a little more complicated. And, you know, 17 surgeries later and the story of what he had to overcome. I mean, I felt like the biggest
asshole. I'm so glad he's okay and we can laugh about that now.
Me too.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, horrible. Thank God he is okay. You guys saw the documentary, the ESPN thing?
I saw the part that you're talking about.
With his leg?
Oh,
so, I've said it before, cadaver. I'll say it again. Well, that's the thing. If you saw that picture and did not know the context of what it was from or what it was all about, and I said, hey, what do you think this is? You would say, that's a cadaver at a medical school in college, and they're learning how to amputate and remove muscle from bones, right?
All you see.
That's
muscle,
the leg
bone,
of a dead person. That's what you would think. It was awful. And the fact that not only did he come back and play again, but he's still walking and didn't lose his leg is incredible. Are you kidding me?
No way I ever thought he'd play football again. No way in hell. That was unbelievable.
His wife, they were talking about in the documentary how the doctor said, what do you want to do? You want to amputate? And his wife said, no. His wife said, let's give it a little bit and see if we can get through this. And my God, you imagine the burden of having to make that call for somebody? Holy moly. All right, Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dick?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
After the Rams unveiled their 2021 NFL draft setup at a large beach house in Malibu this week, Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury, remember last year at the draft, he was watching from some beach house as well.
Right.
He's poking fun now at Rams head coach Sean McVay for their lavish setup the following season.
I think it's just a ploy by McVay to allow himself the opportunity to take his shirt off again and jump in the pool like he did on Hard Knocks. Probably sip a little rosé, dip in the ocean, and make some draft picks. So I think more than anything, he had that up. So it should be fun to watch.
Don't you think that there's a little bit of a perception of the Rams that they're kind of soft? I mean, Aaron Donald's not soft, but just the whole attitude and the Southern California vibe and all that. Doesn't this kind of play into that a little bit?
It's hard to get out of that because when you think about all those teams, you thought that the Chargers have felt soft, the Rams have felt soft, the Bruins have felt soft. I mean, really, USC is kind of the only team down there that you look at. And when the Raiders were in L.A., the only two teams that you thought, well, okay, those are kind of hardcore football teams. The rest of them do kind of feel soft.
Yeah. Okay, so we got six left, and we only got time for two.
Ooh.
So I want to save 12 for the end.
Yep.
What do you want?
Well, Dick, you wanted to one of the European Super Leagues. That's one of the things that you wanted. The 8 or 9.
Okay,
is,
8 or 9.
Realistic.
Which one? You want Pep Guardiola or James Corden?
I think Pep Guardiola is interesting as his actual head coach. Gordon was just a talk show host. He was complaining about it. So,
which one's funnier?
Which one's funnier?
Which one's more interesting? I mean, you like the soccer guy because you're the soccer dork on the show. Which one is the audience going to enjoy more? That's the question.
Probably James Corden.
All right. On Monday. Oh, wait. Dick, did you hear that?
What's that, Dave?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
On Monday, before many soccer teams abandoned the European Super League idea, Late Late Show host James Corden discussed his emotions about the situation and how the Super League would change the sport in Europe.
Now, without boring, those of you who don't care, which is basically 100% of the people in this room, the truth is that this whole thing, making this move, these teams, these owners are killing. They will kill hundreds of other football teams that compete with them and have competed with them many times over the years, disregarding the fan bases of those teams and disregarding the fan base of their own teams. And I'm heartbroken by it. Genuinely heartbroken by it. I'm heartbroken because the owners of these teams have displayed the worst kind of greed I've ever seen in sport. I don't want to be overdramatic, but I do think it's the end of the sport that we loved. It truly is. Don't ever forget that it was them, those owners, they took something so pure and so beautiful and they beat the love and the joy out of it, and they did it for money. They just did it for money, and it's disgusting.
Well, the fans had their say, right?
And won.
The fans won. I'm still curious to know what would have happened if they had gone ahead and done this, what people's reaction would have been. You're telling me nobody would have gone? They all would have said, we're staying home. And nobody would have gone? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know European soccer enough to give you a real answer on that, but I just know this, and I said this when it happened. This is like the 2021 European version of the KJR fan base blowing up the Scottie Pippen Sean Kemp trade back in the day. When Barry Ackerley was going to make the deal, flips on KJR, here's people going nuts and says, let's not do that. And I like it. I like when sports owners get the vibe of their fan base and say, you know what? We made a mistake. We're not doing it. We were wrong. You were right. Let's just status quo. I like that.
I do too. I don't know how we'd react. We have really nothing to compare it to here. So it's tough. But, you know, we do know that when the Sonics left the NBA, went to Oklahoma City, there was a large percentage of people, at least for a while, that just said, I'm done.
Yep.
I'm not going to jump on another team's bandwagon. I'm done. And maybe there would have been quite a few people that would have done that, even though their team still would have been there. It just would have been in a different league.
All right, one more. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Okay, so Inside Edition shared a report earlier this week about a flight from Germany to New York. Have you heard this, by the way?
I've seen
the video.
There's
a flight from Germany to New York last August where a child did not stop screaming for all 8 hours of the flight. This is the report. You can hear the kid screaming in the background. I want you to put yourself in the position of not just the parents, but also the passengers, and ask yourself how you would respond to this.
That ear-piercing scream is an unruly child on a transatlantic flight to New York. The passengers describe an 8-hour flight from hell with non-stop and nerve-jangling screaming and fussing. They even covered their ears to drown out the 3-year-old. His mom was overheard telling flight attendants he has behavioral problems. Passenger Shane Townley shot the video.
She kind of looked like she was used to it. He was climbing all over the chairs. He was just screaming, would not let up. He was running up and down the aisles. There was nothing she could do.
Before the plane even took off from Germany, the child's mother could be heard asking a flight attendant to turn on the Wi-Fi so the child could be appeased with an iPad. She was also heard pleading, calm down, honey.
Everybody was just kind of looking at each other like, oh, this is going to be a long flight.
The passengers sure were relieved when the flight finally landed at Newark International Airport after 8 hours of screaming.
Okay, so you're a parent, you got kids.
Yeah.
You've flown internationally as well.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, people have to travel. We have no idea why this family was traveling. Maybe they were moving. Maybe they're military. Maybe they were going to seek medical help in the States from Germany. I have no idea.
Right.
The kid was apparently autistic. He was 3 years old. So I said on Twitter, I felt bad for the parents. I felt bad for the kid. I felt bad for the passengers. I felt bad for everybody. What's the solution for this? For 8 hours straight. How do you handle that?
Well, I was very, very knee-jerky when my kids ever started crying. Even when they were like one, I was either like the first to grab them and take them to the bathroom or ask my wife to take them to the bathroom because I was very, very conscious of the people around me. I didn't want to be that parent. I mean, I was just like petrified of being that parent that had the screaming kids. So first thing I did, man, take them to with a book or something. Just take them and lock them in the bathroom, and you just talking to them in there. Not by themselves, obviously. You're with them.
Where's Dixon? He's in the can. He's been there for 8 hours.
You take a book or an iPad with them and try to get them calmed down away from people.
Yeah.
And then
what if
once
they don't?
You think they're calmed down, well,
what
then
if
you
they
stay
don't?
There. You just stay there with
for
them.
For 8 hours.
And it's your problem.
I mean, eventually
it's your
somebody
kid,
else.
It's your problem. It should not be the 200 people's
right.
problem on that
right.
plane because they didn't bring the kid on the plane.
Eventually somebody else is going to have to poop. And they're going to need the restroom. They're
well, there's other restrooms.
There's no flight attendant that would let you sit in a plane for 8 hours, right?
If under those situations or those circumstances, if I'm a person in the plane, I would much rather have the kid occupy one of those bathrooms
right.
and have to fight over the other ones than sit next to that kid screaming for 8 hours.
Well, I tell you what, man. Somebody recommended Bose headphones. I've got Bose headphones. I have two pairs of Bose headphones, noise-canceling headphones.
Don't think we cancel that out.
When you're sitting right behind this, you're going to hear it. Okay? And look, all I know is this. I don't have kids. I don't plan on having kids. And after hearing that, I think I made the right call. 442, testimonials, 49451, and then Hugh Millen coming up, 520.
You guys had what, Hugh Millen?
Talking quarterbacks and stuff.
That's Napa know-how.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is testimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
All right, Hugh Millen joining us coming up.
You guys had what, Hugh Millen?
520 talks from quarterbacks Tony Castroconi. I'll join the radio program at 6 p.m. Softy and Dick until 7 o'clock tonight. Kurt Seltzer text line brought to you by your friends at Hammer and Nail. Build. Now, my contract.
3, 2, 1.
You know, when I'm done. Like when I'm just done doing radio, that's exactly what it's going to sound like.
You're just going to slow down.
I'm just going to... What happened to Softy? Well, he's finished.
He's done.
He's expired.
He expended every ounce of energy.
He ran out of gas. There's no more quarters left.
He's a robot.
We got to get the thing started, man. Have him bang his cymbals together. Let's go. Hammer and nail dot build. Now my contractor is your contractor. All right, we got a lot of text, not a lot of time. Somebody responding to the screaming kid on the airplane for 8 hours.
Don't let people bring the little kids on the plane. Mm. Leave them home with grandma.
How about this for an idea? I'm just throwing this out there, and I'm sure it's not realistic, but you have to be a certain age to ride the roller coaster at the Fun Forest.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be a certain age to take a plane ride. Huh?
I don't think so, because again, I mean, I really
I don't
think
have kids, so I couldn't care less.
It's all about it. I don't get pissed at the kid.
Yeah,
I get pissed at the parent.
Of course,
because the parent either is proactive. Going on to the flight, knowing they have a game plan, and then is willing to execute that game plan if things are going wrong. But I have seen many, many parents over the years have no game plan going in.
Well,
and all they say to the little tyke is, "You're okay, honey." No, he's not okay, honey. Do something about it.
Well, but if the kid's got autism and he's screaming his brains out,
obviously.
What are you supposed to do? Not fly? What if you have to move somewhere? What if you're in the military? I mean, you can't drive from Germany to New York. So what are you supposed to do? Now, my honest question is this. I don't want to spend the whole thing on this. You've got kids... You're going to have kids. At what point does it become okay to drug them? Like with melatonin,
little
gummies.
Vodka?
Well, whatever. You want to give them some, you know, Tito's or a bottle of San Juan Seltzer? I mean, honestly.
It worked in the 40s.
Is that now not acceptable?
Yeah, it's frowned upon. I'll
okay.
put it that way.
All right.
It's frowned upon.
Okay. What's next?
Dick is high. Hawks have zero at the cornerback position. Reed had an okay year, but he's not a starting corner, which is why he wasn't on an active roster.
I think DJ Reed's very young. I mean, he's a very young guy, and I think the Hawks saw something. They gave him an opportunity. He popped. It's not like DJ Reed's not like a 31-year-old journeyman that just was a stopgap for the Seahawks. He was a guy that the 49ers liked, and he got injured. They couldn't keep him. The Seahawks grabbed him, and it's our gain is their loss. So I like DJ Reed as a number two cornerback. And, you know, maybe I am high, but that's, you know, or maybe that's just Friday night at 5
o'clock. I like, yeah.
Stay off the weed!
I like DJ Reed. I just don't like much else in that secondary at all. And I think DJ Reed is maybe a decent second, maybe a better third option. But when you're trying to win a championship and build a Super Bowl caliber defense, I think the Seahawks are really lacking right now at their cornerback position. Now, again, the key is it's now. It's April 23rd. They got 5 months. What's next?
I don't think Richard Sherman has enough left in the tank to be a benefit to the Hawks. Father Time wins all.
Well, again, it just depends on what your expectations are. If you're expecting Richard Sherman to be a all-pro corner, then that's not going to happen. If you're expecting Richard Sherman to be a nice piece of that rotation and to impart his wisdom on some of these young guys, I think he's a perfect fit for the Hawks.
2 years ago, he played at a near Pro Bowl level. I think he made the Pro Bowl, actually, but he played at a near Pro Bowl level. We talked to Dan Dibley about that. Last year, he was injured, so the conclusion is it was just an injury, and he's going to play almost as well as he did in 2019 coming up, or that injury just made him fall off the cliff.
He was a Pro Bowler in 2019 and a second-team All-Pro. How about that?
Wow.
Just 2 years ago, and then he got banged up again. So
all
look,
they need from if they sign him, all they need from him is average, like league average cornerback play, and you're fine.
Just be pretty good. That's all we need. Just be pretty good. All right, 454, Hugh Millen coming up talking quarterbacks. What does he make of Justin Fields and the revelation he deals with epilepsy? Could that hurt him on draft day? Trevor Lawrence says he doesn't have a real big chip on his shoulder. Does that bother Hugh? And is it time to start talking about Patrick O'Brien, by the way, as the starting quarterback on Montlake?
Welcome back to Insider. I'm Pat O'Brien.
That's all coming up 520 on Softy.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun: Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.